This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
With their loss against the Portland Trail Blazers, the Houston Rockets have officially clinched the worst record in the NBA this season. What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join myself and the Athletics' Ali Khanbijani each week live to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter, at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. So, really quickly, before diving into a lot of different things to talk about, and we're even going to branch into some non-Rockets topics here in just a second, but do want to apologize for missing the start of this week, the Monday episode, just dealing with some personal stuff on my end, but I am back. We are back here with the show. Plenty of different things to talk about. KJ Martin, Kyrie Thomas, Armani Brooks, the Rockets continuing to set records, be it good ones and bad ones. So we've got plenty of different things to talk about. Quick reminder at the top here, just mentioned a moment ago, but be sure to check out Locker Room with myself and Ali Khanbijani. We will be going live Tuesday night, 9 p.m., always fun. Stop by for that. It's going to be a blast. But let's kind of start things off. We're going to change the pace here for a moment. And I just want to give a shout out at the very top of the podcast to former Houston Rocket Russell Westbrook, who just passed Oscar Robertson to become the all-time NBA leader in career triple doubles, which is just, I mean, this is a record that stood for 47 years. That you know, nobody thought would ever be broken, and Russell Westbrook has now done it. So Russ just recorded his 182nd career triple double, becoming the triple double king, and then kind of the pathway right through his triple double record. So he had his first triple double in his rookie season on March 2nd, back in 2009, the only triple-double of his rookie year. Then, in the very first year without Kevin Durant in 2016-2017, Westbrook recorded 42 triple-doubles to break Oscar Robertson's single-season record that was set about 50 years before that. That was also the year that many Rockets fans will remember that Westbrook actually beat Harden for the MVP, because that was the first year that he averaged a triple-double. In 2019, Westbrook set the NBA record with 11 consecutive triple-doubles. And then later that year, as a Houston Rocket, Westbrook had a game with 28 points, 13 boards, and 10 dimes that moved him ahead of Magic Johnson on the NBA's all-time triple-double list. And now, Russell Westbrook is currently the Wizards' all-time triple-double leader. So I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to the Brody, because look, as much as I will forever still hate the Russell Westbrook trade because of the associated costs with it, and because hindsight is always 20/20, all of that stuff, it doesn't change the fact that that two-month stretch, give or take, like before the shutdown where Russell Westbrook was bawling out of his mind, that is still like a top five stretch of like Rockets fandom for me, because it really felt like Russ was starting to be the version of him that we thought he needed to be to become like the, not the Robin to James Harden's Batman. Remember, because we used to say it was Batman and Superman, not Batman and Robin. We thought the Rockets needed another heavy lifting superstar guard to play and run the offense the same way that James Harden did when he sat. That way things could essentially look and feel the same, as opposed to with Chris Paul, where Paul, you know, was arguing for more set plays and more off-ball movement and more play calling and all this stuff. And that's just what, you know, again, it's not going to change that. Still a great experience as a Rocket, all of that. So I just want to shout out Russell Westbrook for that stretch and to congratulate him for his triple-double crown. But past that, let's get back into some Rocket stuff here for a moment. Want to talk about Khyri Thomas, because what a revelation Khyri Thomas has been. So the Rockets just signed Khyri Thomas to a short little 10-day deal, and he has been absolutely insane in his brief stint as a Houston Rocket. So currently, he's averaging 20 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists per game. So he came out of Creighton all the way back in 2018. The Detroit Pistons gave up a couple second-round picks to be able to acquire his draft rights. And that would make him the second Detroit Piston to become a Houston Rocket down the line and potentially make the Pistons regret not holding on to him. Shout out Christian Wood, who is obviously the first. But Khyri Thomas has had a really solid stint as a Rockets player. I mean, so he started his first game, played his first game against the Bucks. Had 16 points, 3 rebounds, had an assist, 3 steals. Looked really good defensively in that game. Then against the Utah Jazz, put up a career high 27 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals, 2 blocks. Had another night, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. 6 of 15 shooting is a little bit rough around the edges, but has looked really good. And as far as being a guard, I mean, he's got some great length. He's kind of billed as a defense first guard. And honestly, another great find, the fact that he was just kind of sitting out there and wasn't playing for anybody. He might be a guy alongside Armani Brooks that the Rockets should consider throwing a couple of long-term deals at, potentially. You know, and my thing is, I don't necessarily see another team. We're going to talk about Armani Brooks in the third segment as far as one of those positive Rockets records that were broken. But I don't necessarily see other teams potentially jumping to sign those guys immediately. And I don't think the Rockets need to jump the gun by signing them before figuring out this offseason where their priorities lie as far as the roster is concerned. Because, right, it'd be dope to sign Armani Brooks. It'd be great to sign him to a full-blown deal. Same thing for Khyri Thomas, who's been a revelation in his short stint with the Rockets. But they've also got a ridiculous amount of guard depth ahead of those two guys, right? They've got Wall still. They've got Eric Gordon. They've got Kevin Porter Jr. Like, there's a lot of guard depth ahead of those two. So, you know, committing long-term money, even if it's on a small deal overall, right? Committing long-term money to either of those guys just because they had, you know, a short stretch of really good games as a pair of Houston Rockets, Armani playing 17 games and Khyri Thomas looking really good after his brief stint here, it's kind of TBD. It kind of depends on what happens in the draft, you know, what direction they go with those players, who they bring back from this current team this year. Does David Nwaba come back? Does Sterling Brown come back? Like, there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered this offseason. So I'm not chomping at the bit for them to sign either of those guys to full-blown NBA contracts just yet. It's still really promising, though, that Rafael Stone's talent evaluation is, at least so far, looks really good. The fact that he's able to go out and find these guys that everybody else has overlooked or has tested out and has passed on, the fact that he's giving these guys a chance and that they're getting, you know, some legitimate run because the Rockets are so short-staffed, so undermanned. Speaking of breaking records, the Rockets have trotted out an NBA record. 29 different players this NBA season have been used across all the different Rockets lineups against the Blazers. They started their 41st different starting lineup of the NBA season. The Rockets have just had, obviously, a hellish year. So that's a record that has been set by the Rockets that is, unfortunately, not such a great one for the Rockets and for Steven Silas and company. But That is unfortunately their record given all the circumstances of this NBA season. But coming up, I do want to talk about KJ Martin for just a moment because he has been playing out of his mind, getting a bunch of starts in a row due to all the injuries for this Rockets team. So I want to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms each and every week at 9 p.m. with The Athletic's Ali Kambijani. 9 p.m. Tuesdays, I should say. Once a week with The Athletic's Ali Kambijani, where you can join in with us and talk about the Houston Rockets. So go download the free Locker Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices, as well as in beta for Android devices. So be sure, check it out, go download it. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Getting ready to talk, we're going to talk about KJ Martin, because KJ Martin has been playing out of his mind as a starter for this Rockets team. So he did start one game a little bit earlier this season when the Rockets were on the road against the Denver Nuggets. But over this most recent stretch of games, four games to be exact, starting with the 76ers game, this last stretch of four games, he's averaging 22.8 points per game, shooting 60% from beyond the arc. He's pulling down 9 rebounds per contest, 4.8 assists. He's averaging a steal, just, you know, under a block per game. 40 and a half minutes per game, too, because the Rockets are so undermanned. But KJ Martin's development this season, you know, it was earlier this season that Steven Silas had said, I believe, that KJ Martin was the Rockets' most improved player this season. And I would absolutely agree. From where we saw KJ Martin starting this season as a rookie, all the way back, his very first game this season, he played about 5 minutes when the Rockets played against the Orlando Magic all the way back on January 8th. So that was KJ's very first game as a Houston Rocket. Didn't play in the handful of games leading up to that. Basically was a garbage time player up until the post James Harden era kicked in. And played about 15 minutes in that first game against the Spurs, the first of the post-James Harden era. But the strides that he has taken in his game since those early days this season, it's just ridiculous. So we think back to my biggest thing when he came back from the G League is he looked so much more confident in his play. Like when he was out there originally earlier this season, he looked indecisive, wasn't quite sure what to do with himself offensively and defensively. Like you could see that there was a lot of raw athleticism there, but that he wasn't quite sure how to put it together on the court. There was a lot of indecisiveness whenever he was passed the ball offensively. Like, does he drive? Does he shoot? The confidence in the shot did not look good whatsoever. And then he goes down to the G League, right? He spends all that time with the Vipers, and then he rejoins the team post All-Star break with Kevin Porter Jr. And that time that he spent down in the G League did wonders for him to allow him that opportunity to kind of bridge the gap from IMG Academy, you know, to the G League, to now the NBA. That allowed him the time to further hone and develop and really get up to speed and get more comfortable with his game, and then bring him up to the Rockets and be able to play consistent minutes. And again, his three-point shot has been a revelation, because now he is averaging on the season, he's shooting 39.5% from behind the arc, which is just, That is not something I would have pegged as being a possibility at the start of the season. If you had told me KJ Martin, after those first few games taking a look at him, if you had told me that he was going to suddenly be a sharpshooter from behind the arc, I wouldn't have believed you. And it's still a small-ish sample size of him as a starter. Again, just four games. But over these four games, he's averaging 6.3 three-point attempts per contest. For the season, he's averaging 1.8, But over these four games as a starter, he's averaging 6.3 attempts per game and shooting 60% on them. Against the Blazers, he had one where he caught the ball, was kind of at the three-point line, and like wasn't even looking at the rim. Had his defender in front of him, realized he had enough space, just kind of glanced at the bucket, and then pulled the trigger on the shot. So the biggest, obviously him becoming a bona fide shooter is great. That's awesome. But the extension of that is KJ Martin has all the tools to be an amazing slasher, an amazing driving force in the NBA. He's got the athleticism, he's got the speed. All he needed was to add a little bit better ball handling, kind of be able to be more comfortable with that first step and then taking somebody off the dribble or attacking off of closeouts. But the fact that he's added this three-point, this flamethrower to his game means that defenses have to play him at the three-point line, which means defenders have to close out hard on him. And if defenders have to close out hard on him, then he's going to have open driving lanes to the basket all day, which is why we've seen his ability to, not only now, we've seen flashes of it, his ability to drive and finish off of closeouts during this stretch, as well as drive and draw another defender and create for his teammates. So KJ Martin is absolutely having a really, really strong stretch as a Houston Rocket. And it really begs the question, does he belong on the bench? Like, and again, small sample size, but it's enough that you wonder what the starting lineup might look like next year. Who gets the nod as a starter? Or do, I mean, obviously we got to figure out what happens with the number one overall pick. Oh, God. You know what? No, I'm just manifesting number one overall pick. That's what it is. We got to figure out what happens with Cade. No, we got to figure out what happens with the Rockets pick. Should it, you know, convey to the Thunder? Should it stay and the Rockets, you know, manage to draft somebody in the top four? Who is that person? And then what does the starting lineup then look like moving forward? Because you pretty much know for a certainty that the starting lineup is going to consist of Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Wood, and Jae'Sean Tate, I would say. And then the other question marks belong to, right, does Kelly Olynyk come back? What do the Rockets do with John Wall? Is he potentially moved this offseason? John Hollinger, in a recent piece with Kelly Eco from The Athletic, said that he wouldn't rule out a buyout possibility for John Wall as a possible avenue for this Rockets team. That's something that we will unpack and discuss in a later episode. But there's a lot of different moving parts to decide who's going to be, you know, on this team and who's going to be in what role next season. But if KJ Martin is going to be a consistently elite three-point shooter, again, small sample size, but if he can keep that up, as well as with the rest of his game, the defense, the cutting ability, the rebounding, all of that, then that's absolutely a starting caliber player in today's NBA, and you just got to wonder whether he can slot in alongside Jae'Sean Tate, and then the Rockets play, you know, somewhat small-ish with those two guys in your two forward slots alongside Christian Wood. Do they maybe slide everybody down a peg and just run a big lineup with KPJ, Tate, Martin, Olynyk comes back, and then Christian Wood? I don't know. But it gives them options. It gives them flexibility. And again, KJ Martin's development has been easily the best of any Rocket this season. It's been better than Christian Wood's. It's been better than, and that's not Christian Wood's. That's Christian Wood's as in his development. I'm just making sure I don't want to be called a casual. But it's better than Christian Wood's, it's better than Jae'Sean Tate's, it's better than Kevin Porter Jr.'s, in fact. He, from where he started this NBA season, the floor that he was at, to where he is at now, has been incredibly impressive. And I just wanted to give, a whole segment to highlight that. Because again, this opportunity was just kind of waiting for him, and he seized it. Taking a starting role and being able to be kind of this go-to guy. And really the big like breakout game for him, right, was against the Bucks, where he put up 26 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, shot 6 of 10 from behind the arc. Had to, you know, it really felt like he was kind of the catalyst for the Rockets against the Bucks, just doing seemingly, I don't want to say doing everything for them that night, because Kelly Olynyk did have 23, 12 and 7. DJ Augustine, back in the rotation was nice to have him back. But past that, I mean, it really felt like he was kind of the go-to guy in that game is what it kind of felt like. And then he, you know, repeated that the following night against the Utah Jazz with another 27. He and Kyrie Thomas leading the way with 27 points apiece against the Utah Jazz. So I don't think it's fluke. Like, this isn't just, the Rockets don't have anybody else and they have to put up buckets, so who's going to get the shots? It's going to be KJ Martin. These are legit numbers. So seeing how this continues on, seeing the fact that Steven Silas is able to, you know, get these young guys in position to kind of unlock their potential, that bodes well for this team moving forward. Having a bunch of young players who we're seeing flashes from them, we're seeing these guys have these career games as Rockets, it's been great. I mean, you know, so I'm disappointed in the people who aren't checking out this team and who have given up on watching this Rockets team, because even though every night has been more or less, you know, for the majority of the season, resulting in losses, this is easily the most entertaining team with like the worst record in the NBA that I've seen in a long, long time, right? You go back to any of like the process era Sixers or just, you know, the T-Wolves, like the previous teams who have been the bottom, you know, just the worst in the association. And I don't remember any of them being this entertaining, like legitimately. On a nightly basis, this Rockets team continues to put up a fight, to claw themselves back from large deficits, to force opposing teams, playoff caliber teams like the Blazers, like the Jazz, like the Bucks, to play their starters well into the fourth quarter of these games, well, almost pretty much to the final buzzer in lots of circumstances, because this Rockets team just doesn't quit. They've got that mentality. They're not going out there just thinking, oh, well, we'll just, you know, we'll pretend and we'll kind of fake it for a few quarters and then we'll just, you know, let our foot off the gas pedal in the fourth or something and let the other team blow us out. Like, no, they're actively out there fighting every single game to prove to themselves that they're capable, these, you know, on an individual basis, these guys who have something to prove on two-way deals, 10-day contracts, all that stuff. And then as a team, they're still bought in. They're still, you know, collectively trying to accomplish something to try and win and to try and play competitive basketball. And I think that speaks to what Steven Silas has, you know, instilled in these guys, the fact that they haven't just gone out there moping around. You know, these young guys are looking for a chance to prove themselves. And that's been one of the, probably the silver lining, the saving grace to this Rockets season, is every night they go out there and they really do compete. And seeing their development on a nightly basis has been a nice change of pace, to know that there's not, you know, some looming playoff battle and that there's no expectations on this season. I've kind of enjoyed that, and it'll be great to see them kind of carry the same mentality through the offseason and have a formal training camp and then come back next season with a group of guys who are absolutely hungry and who want to prove that they are not the worst team in the NBA. So coming up, I want to talk about Armoni Brooks, his record-setting night, as well as, hey, we got to get a tankathon spin in here, and we're going to do that after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas rockauto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they are always reliably low. rockauto.com has everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the important part, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Another quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Look, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. We got NBA playoffs right around the corner, and you can track all of the action and more at BetOnline. Get all your latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. Talking MLB, NBA, NHL, all your UFC action, all over at betonline.ag. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. You can get in on the action with our promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus using promo code LOCKEDON on your very first deposit at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about a good record now for the Houston Rockets that has been broken by one Armani Brooks. So Armani Brooks kind of, you know, he got brought up and he was a I don't want to say a sight for sore eyes, but you know, it was exciting, Armani Brooks being brought up to the Houston Rockets on a two-way deal. I was kind of campaigning for him to get a shot after his play with the Vipers in the G League. It was great to see him get that nod from Rockets management and then get the opportunities that he was given under Coach Steven Silas. And then he had a few really great games to start, and then he kind of hit a bit of a shooting rut where he kind of went into a bit of a slump there for a little bit. But through now 17 games, Armani Brooks has set an NBA record for most three-pointers made through the first 17 games of his career. The record now stands at 46 made threes for Armani Brooks, and he just eclipsed Damian Lillard. So it just so happens, as the Rockets played the Blazers in Armani Brooks' 17th game of his career, he eclipsed Damian Lillard's record of 43 made three-pointers through the first 17 games of one's career in the NBA. So shout out Armani Brooks, who is doing it, you know, for the season now on a 38.8% clip from downtown. He is a certified sniper. He really is. So, and then I was interested to see what Damian Lillard's percentage was like when he did it, when he did it way back when in his rookie season, through his first 17 games. And it was something like, I don't say it was either 41.5% or 40.5%, one or the other. Don't have it pulled up right in front of me, but I did compare the two just to see how far off Armani Brooks was, percentage wise, from what Damian Lillard accomplished all those years ago. But Armani Brooks has been a great get for this Rockets team because, above all else, the Rockets have done a good job of generating quality looks this season. They've done a good job of having a flowing offense where they do generate some really quality three-point attempts. They just haven't translated because the Rockets haven't had quality shooters all season long. Things started to look better when they picked up Kelly Olynyk, and then they added Armani Brooks to the fold, and you know, but the Rockets have struggled for the majority of the season because they haven't had reliable, consistent shooters in the rotation. So having Armani Brooks around, and this is something that Ali Khambejani and I've discussed at length, you know, in our Locked On Rockets film room sessions, is what it means to have those types of shooters, those types of players on the team, and how that shooting unlocks more things for Steven Silas offensively, being able to run specific sets, actions for these types of shooters, and just kind of unlocking even more for this offense for his players on the court when you've got a shooting threat like Armani Brooks out there. And so I'm just glad to see him succeeding as a Houston Rocket. Again, I talked about him kind of briefly alongside Kyrie Thomas in that first segment. I'm not ready to completely jump the gun and say that the Rockets should throw long-term deals at him or at Kyrie Thomas. Again, I've got reservations there, mostly because I want to kind of see how the rest of the offseason pans out. But again, he's definitely shown that he's NBA caliber, that he has a place in the NBA. I'd like for it to be with the Rockets. I really would, because I think that he does kind of fit that mold of, you know, potentially a guard that you can slot in next to Kevin Porter Jr., who doesn't necessarily need the ball in his hands. He's got the confidence. And that's the biggest thing, right, is comparing Armani Brooks to Mason Jones from earlier this season. Mason Jones, despite being a bona fide shooter as well, just had the yips. He never had the confidence to just go out there and start pulling the trigger, whereas Armani Brooks is never shy. The moment he's able to create space, he's pulling the trigger. The degree of difficulty on some of his shots against the Blazers was just absurd. He shot 6 of 9, nice, from the floor against the Blazers, or not from the floor, from behind the arc against the Blazers. And a few of those shots were, you know, hand in his face, you know, defender closed out well on him, and it didn't matter because he just elevates and he's got such a pure form, such a great shooting stroke, and he's got such ridiculous range that he's able to hit these shots from, you know, 2, 3, 4 steps behind the three-point line sometimes. So I'm excited about Armani Brooks' possible future with the Houston Rockets. They're definitely going to have to sit down and decide, you know, whether they want to ink a permanent deal with him moving forward. And hopefully they'll get all of that figured out this offseason. But with that, that kind of, or actually there's two more things that I want to bring up. Because I was going to jump straight to our Tankathon segment, but we can't get there yet. And the reason why is I realized the other day, and I've known this for a while, but like I came to more of a formal realization about it, that the NBA draft lottery is on June 22nd. My birthday is on June 21st. So I jokingly, like, you know, went on Twitter and was like, God, I don't ask for a lot. Had some people commenting that their birthdays were also kind of falling in June. And then a great friend of the show, Roosh Williams, chimes in after Ben DuBose kind of quote tweets and says that his birthday is also June 18th. And basically, we've established what is now known as the Gemini Boys. And the Gemini Boys, we are collectively putting all of our Gemini energy. I don't usually believe in astrology mumbo jumbo, but we are collectively putting all of our Gemini energy. And this doesn't just include June Geminis. This is from all the way from May 21st to June 21st. We're putting all of our collective Gemini energy together to try and influence the outcome of the NBA draft lottery. And so I posted it on my Twitter feed, but we've already got some submissions. We've got some notable birthdays in the Gemini Boys squad. So Roosh Williams is on the 2nd. Podfather himself, Ben DuBose, is on the 18th. I already said I'm on the 21st. We've got Matt Bullard and Kelly Eco are both holding down June 5th. We've got a lot of great names in there. Shout out Diego, who is on May 21st. Just a lot of really, really solid names in that group. So if you've got a birthday, if you are a Gemini and you've got a birthday, you've got to at me, you know, if it falls somewhere May 21st to June 21st, because I'm going to put everybody together in a list and I'm going to come up with some kind of shenanigans, some type of daily ritual. You know, we're going to do like a prayer circle on Twitter. I don't know. Some kind of something that we're going to have to do every day leading up to the draft lottery to increase our chances to put some good energy out into the universe so that the Rockets can walk away with, I don't want to get greedy and say Cade Cunningham, just so that they can walk away with a top four pick. So if you want to be a part of the Gemini Boys squad, which again, Gemini Boys is all inclusive. The term is Gemini Boys, but with a Z. So it's like, it's all inclusive. So it's Gemini, you know, if you want to get in and you're not a dude, that's totally fine. That's just the name of the gang. That's what Roosh came up with. So if you want to get into the Gemini Boys squad, hit me up, at me on Twitter. I'll add you to the list that I'm slowly creating in my notes app of all these different birthdays to keep track of between May 21st and June 21st. But from that, with that, let's go ahead and we're going to run our draft lottery simulator, our Tankathon sim, with the Rockets now clinching the worst record in the NBA, which means that they've still got their 52.1% chance of retaining their top four pick. However, the remaining 47.9% chance does fall exclusively on pick number 5, the lowest that their pick can fall. So let's go ahead and spin this wheel and see where they fall in today's simulation. And damn it, they fall to number 5. The pick conveys to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And God, Rylan, this is like Locked on Thunder's dream scenario right now. OKC jumps up 3 spots to the number 1 overall pick. Chicago jumps up 6 to the number 2 overall spot. Chicago goes up 2 to the number 3 overall pick. Toronto walks away 3 spots higher with the number 4 overall pick, and the Rockets fall all the way down to number 5, conveying to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So this is the dream scenario for the Thunder, where they walk away with the number 1 overall pick, their own pick, and the Rockets fall all the way to number 5. So this is why we need the Gemini Boys squad. We need to put together our collective Gemini energy and somehow walk away with a top four pick for the Houston Rockets. Because at this point, I'm willing to try anything, even if it's pseudoscience-y like astrology. But with that, that's going to conclude today's episode of Locked on Rockets. As always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.